Good morning, church. Let's just pray. Father, we want to thank you for today. We just want to thank you for everything you've done for us this day. For the air that we breathe. For the weather that we have. A bit different today. Indeed, for the warmth we have of friendship and fellowship together. Lord, help us just to know your hand upon us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, perhaps you'd just like, if you've got a Bible, just like to turn with me. Not to John's Gospel, but to 1 John. Now, that's the first letter of John, which is right at the back of the Bible, just before Revelation. You get 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, yeah, three of them. And then you get Jude, and then you get Revelation. So it's right at the back of the Bible. How many books in the Bible, guys? 66. So we're all the way, we're up in the 60s. Okay. So it's right at the back of the Bible. I'm reading from an old-fashioned version this morning. Sometimes I do that just to complicate matters. No, sometimes I try to get to the beauty of the language. And for this morning's word, I need to do that. So I'm going to start at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Can't get simpler. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands handled of the word of life. For the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy might be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. May the Lord just touch us with the reading of his word. Well, what a week that was. It started with politicians waving around kippers. I don't know which was the politician or which was the kipper. There were bold statements about 20,000 extra police, more doctors, and also some old promises about high-speed rail links all suddenly reappearing. Oh, it's been a week of everything's being given. There's been ultimatums to the EU about that £39 billion we're supposed to be paying them. I could go on. What a week. Even the English cricket team clutched victory from the jaws of defeat. Don't say that very often. It's the other way round, don't we? We clutch defeat from the jaws of victory. But, brothers and sisters, this passage that we just read, it has it all. It has it all. There are fake claims in there. You could say there's fake news in there. Oh, blow me, I'm becoming Trump now. Oh, but it's in there if you look. There are false gospels in there. Well, can I say any more? Yes, I can say more, because there are some really, really genuine promises with some glorious messages from Father. And that's in there as well. I'm just checking what's up on the screen behind me, don't worry. Seriously, this passage has it all. Now, it will take me more than this morning to unpack it, so don't expect me to... Well, do you want to be here all day? Because I could unpack it and be here all day if you wish. Now, I'm just going to choose just one bit of one verse. And it's not the first verse. It's right in the middle of the passage. It's verse 7, and perhaps we can have it up on the board. There. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, I've deliberately chosen this bit of this verse. Perhaps we'll get to look at the wider things in this chapter at some later day. But the Lord has really, really laid this on my heart this week. I tried to look at something else, but I couldn't get there. I'm back to this verse. I'm also back to a little book that I bought some years ago. It looks brand new, but actually I've had it about 10 years. Shows you how much I've looked at it. No, I have looked at it quite a bit. It's a book about a guy called Spurgeon. He was an old preacher man. Fiery gospel man from East London. Well, that's where he did a lot of his preaching. And I used to actually attend a church that he set up many years earlier. And he was born in 1834. So you can see he wasn't around when I went to the church, because I'm not quite that old yet. I know we've got a 95-year-old in our midst, and she's still awake, so I'm amazed. Sorry, Margaret. But he wrote a text about this very verse. Book won't last that long if I treat it like that, will it? I just want to read this text out to you, because I have found it so significant in the days that have just gone past. It says this: cleanseth, says the text, not shall cleanse. There are multitudes, just bear with the language because it's written back then. There are multitudes who think that as a dying hope, they may look forward to some sort of pardon for all the wrongdoing they've done down through their life. Oh, how infinitely better to have the cleansing now than to depend upon a promise of forgiveness when I come to die. Some imagine that a sense of pardon is an attainment only obtainable after many years' experience. But forgiveness of sin is a present thing. A privilege for today. It also indicates that it's fully forgiven. A joy for every hour. The moment the sinner trusts in Jesus, he is fully forgiven. Now you say, I know that, do you? Do you live it? Do you live like that? Or is it just a yawn? A sinner is fully forgiven. He wants you to know that this morning. The original text being written in the present tense also indicates what they call a continuance. You are forgiven for yesterday, the sins of the past. You are forgiven for today, and you will be cleansed for those of tomorrow. It will always be with you until you cross that river the very hour that you come to the fountain, for it still cleans. What an enormous promise that we are. I don't think we appreciate that. That it goes way back. We're told that Christ died for our sins before the foundation of the earth. It goes way, way back. It's around today. His Spirit is just ministering to us this morning. And he will remain with us throughout history going forward. What a brilliant promise. What more can we want from our God? Well, there is more. There is more. Notice the ending. The completeness of the cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not only from sin, from all sin. I cannot tell you how sweet that word is. But I pray God that the Holy Spirit will give you a taste of it. Spurgeon goes on to say, manifold are our sins against God, whether the bill be a little one or a great one. He's paid for them all. The blood of Jesus Christ is the same sort of payment for the transgression of that blaspheming Peter who said he didn't know Jesus. It was the same blood that was shed that paid for the shortcomings of John later in his ministry. All our iniquity is gone. All gone at once and gone forever. Wow. I remember the day when I finally finished paying my mortgage off and the house became David's and mine. I shall never forget that day because it didn't belong to the bank anymore. The freedom of knowing that it was ours. I'd paid that mortgage month in, month out for, it felt like, hundreds of years. Probably was. But then there was that freedom of being escaped from that claim upon our house. Blessed completeness. What a sweet theme to dwell upon as one remembers all that the Father has done, is doing, and will do for us. That's what Spurgeon said. So I've nicked his sermon this morning. That's what I want to share with you. But I just want to bring it a bit alive for you so that you fully understand and fully appreciate and allow the Holy Spirit just to touch you with those words this morning. Because they're so, so meaningful. I've told them this, so they're sitting there ready. But many of you were here on Monday for the wedding of Jonathan and Louise. Or should I say, Louise and Jonathan. It was a brilliant time. And when Louise arrived, just a minute or two late, when she came into the church, you could see that it was very noticeable that Jonathan started to shed a tear or two. Were they tears of relief? She's finally turned up. Were they tears of seeing her in that dress? She looked absolutely fabulous. Or were they tears of joy? Pure joy and love. By the time the Louise got alongside him, right here where I'm standing, he was sobbing. And then came a wonderful moment. She quickly kissed him on his cheek. She produced a tissue of some sort. I don't know how you women do it. She produced a tissue and dried off these tears. It was such a sweet, sweet moment of pure joy, pure happiness, pure love. I don't know about you, I don't remember the rest of the service. I think they said I do. But it was just so touching. And our Father, our Heavenly Father this morning, wants you to share in His love that He has for you. Can we put up the second slide, please? You see, there may be sins against a holy God, sins against His righteous laws, sins against His love, sins against His blood, sins against His name and against His cause. Sins immense as the seas. I think I put sea up there, but it's seas. From them all, He cleanses me. Thank you. Seriously. I've had the privilege once or twice of being on a boat in the middle of an ocean somewhere. When you look across the decks and all around you, all you can see is the immenseness of the sea. And sometimes the sea is as deep as far as you can see to the north, to the east, to the west, to the south. It's all encompassing. And that's what this love, this word is all about. We could open up this verse a little bit more. The whole of verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Sounds a bit conditional. But that's not so. Once we realise just how incredibly loved we are by our Father, just how much it costs for us to become members, part of his family, just how accepted we are as members of his church, to have the opportunity to share together those precious moments, to tend to each other's needs, to wipe away the tears, and to share together that incredible realization, your heavenly Father really, really loves you. My words just fail me. It cost him everything. It goes on costing him everything. The death of his only son. It touches and reaches right down into our heart. And it says, I love you. I really, really love you. Louise said to me that during the week, while they've been going around on their honeymoon, they've been really loved up. You would have hated it, she said. She's probably right. But it was so noticeable, apparently. They didn't have to tell anyone, people knew. I could make some comments about that, but perhaps now's not the time. But I want you to just understand this morning just how much your Father loves you. Your Heavenly Father loves you. I want you just to hold on to that. Oh yeah, there's a lot more in this passage about the gospel. It's mentioned twice earlier. About the lightness, the darkness and more. And the fellowship that we can enjoy together. But I really want you to focus in on God's love this morning. Perhaps we can speak about them next time I preach, whenever that is. But for me, this morning, it's about just being quiet before God. On our own. As you sit there, just picturing those words that are up there. Sins against a holy God. Sins against his righteous laws. Sins against his love, his blood. Sins against his name and cause. Sins immense as is the seas. From them all, he cleanseth me. Let's just be quiet for a few minutes to take them on board. Those were the words of Spurgeon back in somewhere around 1830, 1850. They're not my words, they're his. But they really touched me this morning. And I just pray that they're touching you right now. Let's turn that phone off or whatever it is that's playing in the background. And focus into the Lord Jesus Christ as he reaches down into right into our very being and says, I love you.